Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Well, hi, everyone. As Pastor Wade just mentioned, I'm doing the message today, so you can see that I'm not Fred. You probably missed him as well, playing keyboard and guitar, both at the same time. But just to let you know, Pastor Fred's dad passed away this week, and that's why he's not here today. And so he's spending some extra time with family, so maybe you can just take some time and remember the Middle family over the next few days, and that God will be with them and continue to strengthen them through this time. Thanks for doing that. The video you just watched gives us a promise that God is with us. He is for us. And in the middle of uncertain times, we do not need to fear, but instead we can look to Jesus, who has all of this under his control. So today we're going to look at a Bible character who faced uncertain times as well, and we're going to see from his life, all those thousands of years ago, that there are still lessons and things that he learned that can apply to us today. I'd encourage you guys to engage in the YouTube chat as the message is going on. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them. If you have any comments to make and maybe just want to interact with each other, that's great. One question I have for you, maybe you want to give the answers in the chat. What are your plans going to be when you're allowed to be with people outside of your own household again? So we're going to talk about some dreams and some plans today. So what are some plans that you have? The person that we're going to be looking at is Joseph. And so who is this Joseph dude? Well, he was born to a man named Jacob and his wife Rachel. And Jacob expressed his favoritism to Joseph by giving him a robe or a coat, or in the Bible it calls it a richly ornamented robe. And you may have heard of Joseph's coat of many colors, or Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat film. There was already some sibling rivalry between Joseph and his brothers, the older brother versus younger brother antics. And then when Joseph received this coat, his older brothers became very jealous of him and the favor that he received from their father. So then, to top it all off, Joseph had a dream. And when the dream was interpreted, it said that Joseph would rule over his whole family and they would bow down to him. Well, who was he to think this? He was the second youngest in the family. He wasn't the firstborn. He wasn't the heir. So who was he to say that they would bow down to him? As if his brothers were not already upset with him because of the coat, now this really tipped them over the edge. So the first chance they got, they decided to get rid of him. The brothers were out in the field looking after their father's flocks, and Jacob sent Joseph out to check up on them. His brothers could see him coming, and they began to plot what they were going to do. And they decided at first that they were going to kill him. But then they decided, no, we'll spare his life, but we're going to throw him down in a big hole that he can't get out of. But then along came the Ishmaelites, and they were a group of people who were just traveling through, and the brothers decided that we're going to sell Joseph to these people as their slave. Awesome. Not only were they getting rid of their know-it-all little runt of a brother, but now they were getting paid to get rid of him. Then the brothers realized that they had to tell their father something. But they couldn't tell him what had really happened, so they decided to tell him that they found Joseph's coat in the wilderness with blood on it. That infamous robe. And Joseph was led to believe that his son had been attacked and killed by ferocious animals. Meanwhile, Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites, and they in turn sold him to Potiphar, who was one of Pharaoh's officials in the Egyptian government. So while his father thought he was dead, Joseph was a slave in the home of an Egyptian government official. And after living there for a while, Joseph gained Potiphar's trust, and he was put in charge of his household. And it would seem like he may have been something of an executive assistant, where he kind of planned everything that was going on in the household and made sure that things happened. And I'm sure Joseph must have wondered about his family. Did they miss him? Like, do they ever think about him? Would they ever come looking for him? But all in all, I think he probably had the best case scenario considering everything that had happened to him. But there was one problem. Joseph's boss, Potiphar's wife, found him attractive. Joseph is described as well-built and handsome. She not only found him attractive, but she wanted him to come to bed with her. Joseph was a man of integrity, though, and he didn't want to do anything to cause his boss to lose confidence or trust in him. But more than that, he didn't want to sin against God. So day after day, the passage tells us that she tried to coax him to come to bed with her, and day after day, he continued to refuse. God's hand must have been on Joseph to allow him to have the willpower to refuse this woman. But one day, she found Joseph in an area where none of the other servants were around. And she said, "Come on, Joseph. Come on, take me to bed with you." And again, he was refusing. But this time, she held on to his cloak. And as he refused her, he turned and walked away, and she was left with his coat in her hands. Uh-oh. So, of course, she was probably upset that he had again refused her advances. So she decided, "I'm going to ruin him." So she accused him of trying to rape her, and she lied and said that she screamed when he came towards her, and then he ran away after she screamed. And he left his coat behind in her bed. So Joseph's boss found out about these lies, but he didn't. It was his wife telling them, so he assumed they were true. He got angry at Joseph and threw Joseph in prison. It says that the prison was the place where the king's prisoners were kept. So it's suspected that it may not have been the worst prison around, but it was still confinement. And so this is where we find Joseph. He was given a dream by God to say that his family would bow down and worship him, and he would reign over them. But what was happening? Instead, his family had abandoned him. They made it appear that he was dead and sold him into slavery. And then he ended up with a pretty decent job, but because of the lies of another person, he ended up in prison for a crime he didn't even commit. Joseph found himself in lockdown. We, too, are in a lockdown of sorts these days, aren't we? And there's some lessons that we can learn from Joseph. And this sermon's going to be a little different today. I'm going to be telling you a little bit of the story from the Bible as we go along. And we're going to pull some lessons from Joseph's life. And some remember this lessons. And so the first remember this is the Lord is with us. Joseph had definitely found himself in the middle of uncertain circumstances. How long would he be in prison? Would his boss find out the truth? Did his family ever think about him? Would they ever come looking for him? Well, Joseph must have had all these questions. Genesis 39 and verse 21 tells us, "The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden." Did you catch that? The Lord was with him. When we go through the most horrible and uncertain and unpredictable circumstances, the Lord is right there with us. Psalm 46 and 1 tells us that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In Deuteronomy 31 and 6, Moses was telling his successor, Joshua, that God will never leave you or forsake you. In Psalm 27 and 10, David, who also experienced some abandonment by his family, he said, "Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close." Whatever your circumstances are today, the Lord is with you. He is for you. As we're in the middle of social isolation right now, we may feel like we don't know how much more of this we can take. And even though it's a mandated abandonment of sorts, maybe we feel so lonely and we almost feel a sense of abandonment by those we love. My friends, the Lord knows. He sees you right where you are. And I want to tell you today, He is in control. We need to trust Him. We need to be vigilant like Joseph. And when temptation comes, we hold on to the integrity and the truth of God's word to get us through this. The Lord is with us. The second remember this thing that we can do today is to be used by God wherever you find yourself. Joseph had gained the trust of his boss first when he went to Egypt, and he was given a greater responsibility as a result of that. Then when he went to prison, the prison warden liked Joseph and put him in charge of all the other prisoners. He entrusted everything that happened in that prison to Joseph. Again, Joseph's integrity helped him gain the trust of those around him. Joseph was put in an uncertain situation, but he was open to the opportunities that were presented to him in the middle of a bad situation. He found favor in God's eyes and in the eyes of those who had authority over him. We're not really told whether there were too many people around Joseph in prison at the beginning, but after a while it tells the story of two other employees of Potiphar who were thrown in prison, employees of Pharaoh. And so apparently Pharaoh's baker and his cupbearer offended him in some way, and he became angry with them, and he had them put in prison along with Joseph. So after they had all been there a while, they probably would have gotten to know each other pretty well, shared some things among each other. And then one night, the cupbearer and the baker both had a dream during the night. The next morning, when Joseph saw them, they were down in the dumps because they didn't know what their dreams meant. So Joseph asked him to tell him their dreams, and God would interpret those dreams. So Joseph became the agent God used to reveal the meaning of those dreams. So that's what they did. So Joseph opened himself up to the opportunities to be used by God right where he was in that prison. As they told Joseph their dreams, the cupbearer was told that his dream meant that within 3 days he was going to leave prison and be restored to his position as Pharaoh's cupbearer. And so Joseph wished him well and told him to, "Hey, cupbearer, would you remember me when you get out of prison? Remember and tell Pharaoh about me. Tell him about how I interpreted this dream for you." And then the baker was told that in 3 days he would be hanged. So quite different interpretations, quite different things that would happen to them. Sure enough, 3 days later, the cupbearer was restored to his duties and the baker was killed. In life, we all have dreams and plans for how our life is supposed to go. We go to school or gain some skills to get what we hope is our dream job. Maybe we get married, have kids, buy a home, get a new vehicle. We have dreams for all those things. But what happens when life doesn't work out as you hoped it would? What happens when your happily ever after isn't so happy anymore? Maybe someone in your life has abandoned you, like Joseph. Maybe the child that you felt God had promised you hasn't come along yet. Maybe you were supposed to get married this summer and you had planned the perfect ceremony to celebrate with 100 or 200 of your closest friends and family, and then COVID-19 happened. And now you can only have probably 5 people come and witness you pledge your love to your future spouse. Maybe you had planned to do upgrades on your home this year or buy a new home that would be better suited to you and your family. But now with job uncertainty for the future, you don't even know when that's going to happen. Maybe you had a vacation planned in another country and it was something that you really feel you need to get away, and something you were looking forward to. Now you don't even know when it's going to be safe to travel again. Maybe you live on your own and you're planning to get together with a lot of friends and family over the next few months, and now all of a sudden you find yourself within 4 walls and you don't even know when you're going to be able to share a meal with somebody again. Maybe the only time you feel normal now is when you escape to your island and build your own paradise on Animal Crossing. As this time of isolation is dragging on, there's a term being used. It's called isolation fatigue, and it's described by a bioethicist at the University of Toronto as psychologically based restlessness. And some people, he explains, have had enough of being physically isolated and they want to begin interacting with the outside world again. Do you feel it? You know what? Some of us are just feeling done right now. And, you know, we've been going through these months and we've probably had waves of this that, you know, some days, okay, I think I can do this. And now you're just getting at the point where there's some warmer weather coming and you just want to get out. You want to be with people again. And even introverts, you're wanting to be with people again. And we don't know what the future holds. We don't know when we can put these plans into place. So what do we do with all these uncertainties and disappointments? Well, let's look to Joseph again. Both with Potiphar and with the prison warden, it says that the Lord was with Joseph and they found favor with him. This speaks to the way that Joseph responded to the situation he was placed in. Instead of crawling into a hole and feeling sorry for himself, he got out there and he responded to whatever situation was put in his path. So what about you? How are you going to respond to the situation you find yourself in? What are you going to do with your free time now that your summer vacation may not be happening? Or maybe your Wednesday night soccer game is not able to occur right now. Or maybe you can't sing on the worship team, so your Wednesday night worship practice is canceled. Or you can't teach the kids in Theater 5 on Sundays. You know what? It would be very easy to just give up and feel sorry for ourselves and not do anything different than what we've already done, than what we've always done. But remember that it's your response in the tough times that stands out to people. Like Joseph, he found favor in the eyes of those who had authority over him. He got to know the people around him, and he took advantage of the opportunities that came his way, even if they didn't line up with where he thought he was going to be. How about if you spend a little bit more of your time outside, getting to know your neighbors? And I don't mean just, hey, how's it going? Okay, well, see you later. But really take time and talk to them. Find out what they like. Find out their story. Find out if they have a faith background. Ask them some of the questions that you would want them to ask you so that in turn you can begin to tell your story to them. You can share your faith with them and so that you can get to know them. Maybe you can start a small group in your cul-de-sac. Invite some people to gather with you on Zoom after the kids are gone to bed so that you can be there and you can talk about some truths from God's Word and just get to know each other. And that might not be the most ideal right now, but you know what? It could make a big, huge difference in someone's life. There's a couple from our church who I talked to last week, and they're planning to do something like this. They have a couple of people that they know already, and they're beginning to talk to them about Christ. And they're actually wondering, are there some of you out there that want to join them online on Zoom and just talk through some things about God's Word, maybe do something from Right Now Media, and just get to know each other and be able to help each other through this time. If you want to connect with them or if you want to connect with a small group, email me. My email address is on the screen. Maybe there's a volunteer opportunity in the community. Look up the Spark Ontario volunteer website, and they have a bunch of different volunteer opportunities for what's happening right now. Maybe there's something that's right in your community that you didn't even know about, a way that you can be involved and help out. So spend some extra time leading your kids to know Jesus. Pastor Mariah puts together a whole package of games and Bible lessons, and she just told us about that a few minutes ago. But it's ways that you can, maybe you don't know how to talk to your kids, but this is there to help you. It's there to help you, give you ideas to how you can lead them to know Jesus more. So go to crosslands.ca/kids and check that out. Take the time for your own personal journey with Christ during this time. I've heard from so many of you that you've been able to develop a prayer life that you always wished for. You'd heard other people talking about this prayer life that they had with God, and it's like, wow, I don't experience that. But now all of a sudden, people have been having the time, they've been taking that time to spend with Jesus, just crying out to him and actually taking time to listen to what he's saying back. And sometimes that's all it takes, is making that time for Jesus, developing that prayer time with him, getting to know him more. What about personal development? Leadership development. Use this time to develop skills to lead with influence. This summer, our church was supposed to be hosting the Global Leadership Summit, which is where church leaders and business leaders in the community come together to participate in a leadership conference, which is live streamed from Chicago. And you'll see the information for that on the screen. This conference is still going ahead, but it's going to be online here in Canada. And if you're feeling discouraged in your job, or you're in between jobs, or you don't even know what's happening right now, maybe you're a stay-at-home parent and you lead in your home. This conference is for all of you. It's an opportunity to gain some professional development in leadership. And as a person who is a regular attender of Crosslands Church, you can register for this conference for $99. It's a two-day online conference. And we'll be talking about that a little bit more in the coming weeks, but it might even be available for you if you talk to your boss to have to be reimbursed for professional development in your company. So take a look at the information, the website's on the screen, and let me know if you want the promo code to sign up for this. Well, we've learned a lot so far. We've talked about how good God is and that He's with us. We've also talked about altering our plans and taking advantage of the opportunities that are presented to us in uncertain circumstances. So the third remember this statement that we're going to talk about is that God keeps His promises. When Joseph interpreted the dream for the cupbearer, he asked him to remember Joseph and tell Pharaoh about him when he got out. So Joseph must have been thinking, finally, the cupbearer is getting out. He can tell Pharaoh about me. Maybe I'll find favor with Pharaoh and I'll get out too. But of course, we just realized that we just talked about it earlier, that the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. And for 2 years, nobody heard about Joseph again. Until, after that two-year mark, Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted. So can you imagine what Joseph was going through in prison over those 2 years? He must have wondered, what happened? Why didn't the cupbearer remember me? Why didn't he tell anybody? Why didn't he help me get out of here? 2 more long years in prison. Life seems like that sometimes, doesn't it? We talked about our dreams and our plans. And maybe God has actually promised you something, and you've been waiting, and you've been waiting, and it seems like this is never going to come true. Maybe you're dreaming of something, and you've done everything right, but still you're waiting. Don't give up hope. Keep holding on. Let me assure you that God still sees you. He hasn't forgotten. And you know what? I don't know why delays happen. But I know that God has a plan, and He knows what's best for us. I may have told some of you this story before. In my first job after Bible college, I knew that when I went there, it wasn't a long-term job for me. I knew God was calling me onto something different, and this was something that I was doing in the meantime. And so after I was in that job for 6 years, but at about year four, I began to feel very unsettled, and I knew that it was that sometime in the future, hopefully the near future, there was another opportunity going to come. So one day I received a call from a leader of another organization, which was connected to the one I was currently working at, and he offered me a job. And the job was something I would have been good at. I was fully qualified for it, and it had a higher salary, bonus, and it had better benefits than the one I was at. Win-win, right? So I decided to pray about it and apply for it. I had about a week to decide, so I started putting my resume together anyways. And it was the night before I was supposed to submit my resume that I couldn't sleep. And I'm like, why can't I sleep? Why is this bothering me? There's nothing about this job that's wrong. Everything seems right. And all of a sudden, I began to think about the job, and I realized that that job actually sounds quite a bit like the one I'm currently in, but it's just in a different company and at a different level. So if I'm unsettled where I am now, then maybe, God, are you trying to tell me something? So I had, during the night, I had kind of decided, okay, maybe I'm not going to take this. Maybe I'm not going to submit my resume. So the next morning, as I'm doing my hair, getting ready to go to work at the job that I didn't really want to go to, I can't say I heard an audible voice from God, but it was as clear in my mind as if I heard God speak. And this is what He said. I have something better for you than this. It's like, whoa, God, did you just say that? Like, where did that come from? But you know what? Immediately I felt at peace. So later that day, I called the guy who was interested in hiring me and told him what had happened. And I ended up staying in the job that I was in. And it was another year and a half, another long year and a half, before that better than this job came along. But you know what? When it did, I knew immediately that this was the job that I had prayed for, that this was the job and this was the place that God wanted me to go next. So what did I learn from that? I learned that even when we try to make something happen, if it's not God's will for us, and I think that you'll know if it's not God's will for you, because something's going to be off. It's not going to be clear sailing. There's going to be something that's not feeling right about your decision. So if you feel that, don't do it. It's so important to wait for God's perfect timing, even when we don't want to. Even when we think that what's ahead looks great, just make sure that it's in God's perfect timing. Because you know what? God keeps his promises. Let's look back to Joseph. He was forgotten in prison. And then one day, 2 years later, Pharaoh had a dream that no one in the land could interpret. And suddenly the cupbearer remembered, and he was supposed to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. So they get Joseph out of prison, clean him up, and he comes before Pharaoh. He listened to the dream, and God gave him the interpretation of the dream to tell to Pharaoh. Basically, God was warning Pharaoh of a coming famine, but before the famine came, there's going to be 7 good years, prosperous years. But they needed to use that time to save up all the food and supplies so they wouldn't run out during the 7 bad years of famine that would come afterwards. As part of the interpretation, Joseph told Pharaoh that he needed to appoint a wise person to be in charge of the whole land during that time. Pharaoh looked at Joseph and told him that, well, since you're the only one who could come and interpret this dream for me out of all the wise people in the land, well, then you must be that wise person. So I'm going to appoint you as this person in the land who's going to oversee everything. In fact, you're going to be next in command to me. So let's fast forward a few years to when the famine was in full force. Well, guess who needed food? Genesis 42, verses 1 to 6. We're going to read it. When Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why are you standing around looking at one another? I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we'll die." So Joseph's 10 older brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain, but Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother Benjamin go with them for fear some harm might come to him. So Jacob's sons arrived in Egypt, along with others, to buy famine, for the famine was in Canaan as well. Since Joseph was governor of all Egypt, in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was to him that his brothers came. When they arrived, they bowed down before him with their faces to the ground. Do you remember what the interpretation of Joseph's dream was all those years ago? It said that he would be in a place of power and authority, and his family would come and bow down to him. So don't tell me that God doesn't see where you are in your journey all along. God saw Joseph through every sleepless night and every fear-filled day that he was in that prison. God saw him as he met the people in his life who would play a role in getting him where he was and where God wanted him to be. So a little later, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. And here's what he said. It's in Genesis 45 and 7. He says, "God has sent me ahead of you to keep your families alive and to preserve many survivors." After all that Joseph had been through, he could now finally see God's big picture and understand his purpose in all of it. So if God can keep his promise to Joseph and fulfill his dreams, and if God can keep his promise to me that he's going to fulfill something for me, then you know what? God can do that for you too. God took a little shepherd boy, and he made him to be one of the most valued rulers in all of the land, one who would provide for the needs of so many people who needed it at the time. We all have dreams. For some of us, there's a promise that God has been given us that has not been fulfilled yet. And right now, in the middle of what we're going through, you've lost hope. You don't even know if this is ever going to be fulfilled. Friends, don't give up hope. My friends, God keeps his promises. There may be a long waiting period. And Joseph, you know what? Joseph was 17 years old when he first received that promise from God. And then when the promise was finally fulfilled, he was actually 30 years old. During that time, he endured abandonment, loneliness, rejection, feeling like no one remembered him and that he was never going to get out of the uncertain circumstances that he was in. But God remembered him that whole time, all those years. He put people in his path who would lead him on to the next thing. And Joseph was able to minister in the lives of those around him. And he was well respected by those who knew him because he was willing to be used by God right where he found himself. So how do we respond today? You know what? We talked about a bunch of different things that we can be doing right now in this time. Ways that we can make the most of our uncertain circumstances. And while we're in this waiting period, we don't know what's coming next. We trust Jesus. We look to him. We become more neighborly, and we work on our own spiritual lives and the spiritual lives of our families. And we better ourselves, and we prepare ourselves right now for what's coming next. Because you know what? God's got a bright future for all of us. I truly believe that. And so right now, we have to position ourselves in a place where we can be used by God for what's coming next. Maybe you're watching today and you don't even know too much about trusting Jesus and allowing him to come first in your life. But you know what? God has dreams and plans for you too. He's inviting you to come and follow him today. He has a better way of life for you, and all you have to do is decide to follow him. So today, if you want to open your heart to him, just say, Jesus, I trust you. I haven't lived the best life, but I believe you died on the cross and you rose again to give me a better way of life. And today I commit my life to following you. And I believe that with you, life will make sense and that you will have plans for my life which are better than I could ever dream. If you make that decision to follow Christ today, why don't you let us know? We would love to know that. That would be a highlight of our week to know that. So go ahead and if you go to crosslands.live, you'll see it on the screen. Click on the Follow Jesus button that's there. Put in your info, let us know, and we'll be able to help you if you want with some next steps that you can take on a journey with Jesus. I'm going to check and see if anybody has sent me any messages. Nope, there's nothing today, but maybe there's been some questions that you've had, and maybe you've put them in on the chat today, and or if you want to contact us during the week, you can feel free to do that. If you have any questions for us about this message that you've heard today, my friends, I encourage you to allow God to use you right where you are. Don't be bound by your circumstances, and don't feel that you can't do anything right now. See it as an opportunity. See it as a stepping stone for where God wants to lead you next. We're going to pray today and pray that God would be with us. God, thank you that you are with us. Right now, we find ourselves in uncertain circumstances, and we don't know when it's going to end. You've given us dreams and promises and plans, and right now we're uncertain when they'll be fulfilled. And God, some of us have given up hope altogether. And God, we thank you that you are with us. God, you're for us. And you promised that you would never leave us or forsake us. So right now, as we are in this time, help us to put aside our disappointments and look to you for answers as to how we can best fill this time. Help us to look outside ourselves to others who need you. Put situations and people in our path that will not only bring them to you, but it will also help prepare us for what you want to do in our future. Thank you, God, that you do keep your promises. As you were with Joseph, be with us today. Help us in our waiting time. Help us to not be discouraged, but to look to you with hope for the future, because, God, with you, we know we have so much to look forward to. God, thank you for all that you do in our lives. Help us to put this into practice this week. And in the times ahead, God, we thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. So the live stream is going to be continuing on a little while, and you can take some time to pray. And I would encourage you to just pause for a moment. You know, I talked about earlier, spending that time in prayer with God, getting to know him. Maybe God has something to speak to you today. And so I would encourage you to take that time to spend with him. And not only just do all the talking, but actually listen to what he says back to you. Because I don't doubt that God can speak to you too, the way that he spoke to me when I needed to hear from him. And so why don't you go ahead and do that? Take that time today and in the week ahead to spend with him. God bless you guys. Have a good week. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.